Today, I'm in the Bahamas, spread over 180,000 square miles of the Western Atlantic, although there is a bit of a Caribbean feel about the place.
The Bahamas are made up of 700 islands and keys. Nassau, or New Providence, the island that we're on, being the most populated.
The isles are all low-lying, the highest hill's about 200 feet. Columbus arrived in 1492, later pirates took over, and then the islands became a British colony in 1718 in an attempt to control those buccaneers. You'll see lots of pirate references today. The Queen remains monarch even though the Bahamas gained independence in 73. There are more remnants of UK rule as well. They drive on the left, but American influences seem stronger. America's so close, my flight from Miami took under an hour. 70% of the Bahamas' 6 million annual tourists come on cruise ships, and they're mostly American. Nassau is both a bit run down and also quite touristy in parts, with lots of t-shirt shops targeting day trippers on their huge cruise liners. Next to the downtown area is the palm-fringed Junkanoo Beach, set alongside an old dock. It's the place for beach partying with pumping beats and cheap eats from the line of colourful wooden huts.
Okay, everybody, so my name is Alex. I'd like to officially welcome you to our Truly Human Bites of Nassau food tasting and cultural walking tour.
Well, sticking with food, I'm going to learn about Bahamas history and taste local cuisine on the True Bahamian Bites of Nassau Food Tasting and Cultural Walking Tour. That's a mouthful in itself. We're starting next to the main landmark, the 1841-built Christchurch Cathedral. The colonists used limestone blocks to build a handsome square tower. It's reminiscent of a Devon parish church.
And inside the church has a beautiful mahogany ceiling and grand tile flooring, which was actually imported from Italy.
Minutes later, the food sampling started. The city centre stroll and stuffing of faces lasts just over 3.5 hours with 6 stops.
So, everyone, we're here at our first taste location, also our first restroom break on the tour, so please do follow me to our tables in the back.
The guides were really friendly, the food was nice, but not all of it was that distinctive or local, to be honest. My highlight was the rum cake, but that wasn't truly local. It's made by a regional chain that recently opened on the Bahamas, but it was delicious. We had another stop for locally made preserves and peppery pickles and sauces.
Now, the spoon is for our hot sauces and the cracker is for our jam, okay? We'll be going from mildest to hottest. So once we reach your comfort level, please do stop. I am not in the business of torturing people. I gain no pleasure from it.
I hadn't expected to end up eating a Greek salad on a Bahamas food walk. That course was offered at the Athena restaurant. It shows how the Bahamas is a melting pot of cultures and nationalities.
What initially brought the Greeks here was the sponging industry. Back in the middle 1800s, that lasted for 75 years. And overnight, disease hit the sponging industry, which totally wiped it out.
Well, we passed the stately pink and white government house at the top of steps leading down into the town. Just around the corner, Greycliff is an interesting collection of terracotta-painted stone colonial buildings set amongst walled gardens on a hill overlooking Nassau. Greycliff's very much on the tourist trail, with commercial businesses on site including a restaurant, hotel, heritage centre, cigar shop, ice cream parlour. That was Food Tour Stop 3. And Stop 4, the chocolate factory.
The main reason why we all know we came to Greycliff is to try out the chocolate.
One of the chocolates was filled with a key lime flavour, a quite refreshing Caribbean taste.
I'm going to pass them around, even if you don't do chocolate, you just still might want to grab one and take a taste of it.
They currently import cocoa beans from Jamaica. They are, though, experimenting with growing them in the Bahamas. The most traditional food on the walk was served up in a backstreet family restaurant, Bahamian Cooking. Conch fritters. I liked them so much I had them for dinner again at Luca Caria. That's a spacious split-level town centre restaurant with live music. Manager Anoush Karol claims their fritters are the finest.
Conch is shellfish. If you guys like calamari, it's chewy and it's managed. The minute we take it out of the shell, we cut it up and we put it in the batter for the conch fritters, or you can get like a conch salad and we put the tropical mixture and stuff in it, like the fruits. If you like a tropical salad, we can put like the pineapples, the, you know, the tomatoes, onions, lime, orange, citrus. It's really good. Or you can get just conch with the lime taste, and you can get it either spicy because we use the goat pepper, it's the Bohemian pepper. It gives it the flavor. You can get it on the side.
I took myself to another grand estate house, the Buena Vista. When I was a hotel in the 60s, guests included Robert Mitchum, Joan Crawford and Debbie Reynolds. Today, the mansion is home to John Watlin's distillery.
Now, here at the distillery, we produce 4 rums and 1 vodka. Our Red Turtle vodka is made from sugar cane, so it's gluten-free.
At the side of this house is a beautiful cocktail bar, complete with polished darkwood floors, where you can taste a flight of rums. Dangerous. There I met Pepin, who's of Cuban descent. He's a spirits industry veteran who decided to launch the distillery with some of his local cousins from the Bahamas.
We kind of figured out that the Bahamas was the only Caribbean nation without its own premium rum brand. So we decided to take our 175 years of expertise of making rum and decided to build a rum brand for the Bahamas that it can be proud of.
Their vodka is filtered through pink sand found on some of the Bahamas beaches.
Pink sands are actually the skeletal remains of microorganisms, so they'll actually remove a certain flavor note that we don't want in the final product. So what it does is it makes the vodka extremely smooth.
Don't let Pepin catch you adding mixers.
When I see somebody putting Coke in that, it's like a knife to the heart.
And in case you were wondering, the business, John Watlin's, is named after a 17th century pirate.
John Watling was an English buccaneer. He actually landed on San Salvador Island, which is the first island that Christopher Columbus discovered in the Americas, and he renamed it Watling Island.
Back in town near the cruise ships is the Pirate Republic Brewing Company, a nice bar similar to an English pub, but the difference is that they have a beer tour and a pirate gallery. Our guide was
Captain Blah Blah. You're thinking most appropriate, aren't you?
Resplendent in his three-cornered pirate hat and flowing frock coat, Captain Blah Blah strode upstairs, cackling like a pirate occasionally, and told us stories of piracy and royal pardons as he swiftly whisked us around a gallery of pirate portraits. He enthusiastically shared tales of female pirates, Mary Read and Anne Bonny. We also learned about Calico Jack and the infamous Bristol-born Blackbeard, who visited the Bahamas in 1760.
He was quite a tall guy. This is a life-size picture of him. Actually, all the pictures, many of them mostly off Blackbeard. He was the main guy here. Of course, this was done by an acclaimed artist here in the Bahamas. His name, Antonio Roberts. He actually did this from a stick of Canty crayon. It's like a granite mixed with red clay. That should give you the desired effect you see here. Blackbeard, he was here, and this was a major haven for all pirates. He came here and he tried to make Nassau a pirate's republic.
All of their brews are named after pirates. There's a Blackbeard Stout and a
Long John Pilsner, as in Long John Silver.
And then you're off to the brewery next door to get the full overview of the beer brewing process.
You can smell the grain. You can see we just got a new stock in here. Grain from Canada, Munich, Wisconsin, and we also have Czechoslovakian size.
The tour lasts around 25 minutes. It's good. If you're on the islands for Boxing Day, New Year's Day, or in the summer, you can experience a massive party where the beer and rum will be flowing. It's called Junkanoo. Food Walk tour guide Alex told me that when plantation owners loyal to the crown left America and settled in the Bahamas, they brought their slaves with them. These workers were granted 3 days' holiday around Christmas, and the partying became part of local culture.
The festival has grown tremendously, and every year, thousands of Bahamians meet up on Bay Street to take part in the parade, but also as spectators. The costumes are amazing. Back pieces attached to the shoulder that kind of flare out about 10 feet, all very stiff but light and very colourful.
Well, next I'll take a boat to a beautiful Bahamas island and enjoy a kiss that I'll never forget. It did smell of fish, though. Well, today on the Great Destinations radio show, I'm in the Bahamas, a group of islands dotted around the Atlantic, between Florida and Cuba. There are hundreds of them. If you drew a line from the islands in the northwest to the isles in the southeast of the country, it would stretch over 500 kilometres. I'm in and around the capital city, Nassau, on the island of New Providence. It's where 70% of the country's 400,000 people live.
You get a sunny day and you're driving on the shore and you're looking at the water and you see that blue color. You know you're in paradise, and you know, at least for myself, I'm really lucky to be able to live here.
The 18th century Fort Charlotte covers 100 acres just to the west of the capital. In fact, there's three forts on site, Charlotte, Stanley and Darcy. You enter by crossing the drawbridge over a dry moat. I met Raquel Davis of Bahamas Ancient Monuments Department to learn about the fort's history.
Fort Charlotte was built in 1787 by a British governor. He was also the last royal governor of New York and Virginia. It was built during the time of the French invasion. Now, the French never made it here, so the fort itself never saw any action, but they were prepared. At the fort, you would have had the soldiers living here who were stationed here. Most of them were West Indian regiments. Most of them slept underground in the souterrain areas where they have the sleeping quarters.
500 men would have been based at this fort, and it wouldn't have been pleasant. The limestone-lined cellars and passageways are damp and musty.
Now notice the moisture down here. That's basically why Fort Darcy was being built, because within the first 6 months, 955 barrels of gunpowder got destroyed. But it was never fully completed.
Artificers and labourers, step forward to receive your wages.
There is a small display playing sounds of the island's past. Actors play the role of colonial masters, and you can hear how badly the British treated islanders.
Duncan Taylor, 72 days. Wait, you burnt that arm and couldn't finish out the day last Friday. 71 and a quarter days for, let's see, £57 even.
But sir,
take it or leave it.
Our tour continued and we walked through the dank, cavernous tunnels and then out into the daylight, climbing the steps of a recently built amphitheatre where a local band was rehearsing for an evening gig.
And if we were to walk up the amphitheatre, that's when you can get a view of Fort Darcy.
Oh, okay, right.
You can see why the site was chosen for a fort from the amphitheatre. There's an expansive view across the island from the highest point, almost 200 feet above sea level.
So this is where most people come for the view.
If you're more interested in handbags and history, there are plenty of designer shops around Nassau town, and it's all duty-free. Just watch out for the touts flogging knockoffs.
Sunglasses, man. You want Oakley's? Ray-Ban?
The Straw Market is an old market hall filled with mainly mass-produced merchandise, but you can find traditional wood carvers selling their works along the sides. Larry MacDonald's been carving shapes from fish to flowers since he was a boy, using woods like mahogany and cedar.
That's a grouper, freshwater bass.
Do you actually have a real fish in front of you when you carve to look at?
No.
He pictures everything in his mind, which is quite incredible when you see the intricate detail of his carvings. It takes 11 pounds of fish to feed a sea lion every day, and I'm off to meet one at the privately owned Blue Lagoon Islands.
At this time, we'd like to welcome you one more to the island of one.
Now, to reach the island from New Providence, you first drive across one of two very steep bridges from Nassau to Paradise Island. I guess they've got to be high so yachts can pass underneath. Paradise Island feels like a gated community. Celebrities like Oprah have homes there, and it's dominated by the huge Atlantis Resort with its water park rides, casinos and mega hotels, including the Royal Towers. These two pink tower blocks are joined by a bridge section. From the marina, though, you can escape all of this on a double-decker catamaran for the 20-minute ride to Blue Lagoon Island.
At this time, we'd like to welcome you to the beautiful Blue Lagoon Island.
I can see its appeal. The island is really peaceful. There's 3 acres of natural saltwater habitats offering a place to observe nature, enjoy water activities, or relax on the pristine white sand. Kelly Meister is a member of the family who own the island.
Our sea, as you've seen for yourself out here today, is an unbelievable color. It's shallow water, and so the color that you see with the sky reflected is this aquamarine blue you don't see really anywhere else in the world.
Its major draw is dolphin encounters, which began as a rescue facility in 1989.
Alfred Meister rescued 2 dolphins. It was a bit of a spontaneous thing to do. The 2 animals were in need of help. He just kept them and fed them. Princess, our oldest, who is 50 years old this year.
What type of dolphins are these?
These are bottlenose dolphins.
Visitors can get into the water as the dolphins perform dance routines beside them. It's quite incredible to watch. The island started taking in sea lions from the US, victims of Hurricane Katrina.
We took on six in 2006, and then we had our first baby in 2008.
After watching them interact with their trainers, it's clear that the sea lions are highly intelligent creatures.
You've got anywhere from Forrest Gump to Einsteins inside of the bunch.
It was time for me to meet a sea lion, Bonnie, but there were some ground rules.
All right, so you're not going to reach out and touch the animal unless instructed by the trainer.
I must admit I was a little nervous as I sat on a stool with my back to Bonnie the sea lion, and then on her trainer's command, Bonnie gently rested her flippers on my shoulders. And I got a peck on the cheek too. It was an unforgettable experience. The centre also lets visitors enjoy swimming with stingrays.
Stingrays are related to sharks. Sharks and stingrays are really misrepresented and misunderstood. They're not aggressive animals. Although some people at first are nervous, we very quickly get past that. We gradually introduce them. We sit them on the platform here. We bring the stingrays over. We let the stingrays just swim up against them. Then we let them handle the stingrays, hold out their hands. The stingrays will sit on those hands. We allow them to stroke them.
Out of the water, the island also offers a Segway tour along the island's length. You can travel on boardwalks and sandy paths through the shrub and dunes. It took some time to master the electric scooter. You need to lean forward to increase speed and then bend backwards to slow down. That was a bit scary on the downward slopes. At the end of the semi-circular run, we reached the island's highest point, around 30 feet above the water and the dock where the catamaran berths. There's a three-story stone tower here. It was used to signal to adjacent islands and emergencies before the phone cable was laid. Visitors can climb the stairs to the top of the tower. It's worth inspecting the interior stonework. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist John T. McCutcheon bought the island, sight unseen, for his new bride back in 1916, and he's left his mark.
John T. and his wife travelled extensively, and it was back in the day when you could go, and he did, go to places like Egypt, the Sphinx, and chip a little piece off, Great Wall of China. I mean, literally, he went around the world and collected all these rocks. And in the inside of our tower, you can see placed in the wall were bits of his collection from around the world.
Heading back from the tower, we walked down some steps towards a small dock where we were shown how to attract sharks by banging a pole.
That's where we get the sharks. See, they're coming in.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, the Bahamas is known as the shark diving capital of the world, with $800 million in shark tourism revenue. And a single reef shark is actually worth $250,000. If kept alive on the reef.
I would wholeheartedly recommend a trip to Blue Lagoon Island for interaction with seals, stingrays and dolphins, or the scenery. You can lie on the beach all day if you want. The staff are the most welcoming and polite of any experience I had in the Bahamas, and the food's really good, especially the veggie burgers. Back in Nassau, I headed to Adastra Gardens, a botanic gardens, a kind of mini zoo of indigenous birds and creatures. Bonnie Young took me around.
This is something that you don't see pretty much anywhere else in the world, where they have free-roaming flamingos like this. Guests can get very close to them. They just sort of hang out wherever they want to.
Where did these come from?
The Caribbean flamingo is native here in the Bahamas.
I was surprised how orange they were in colour. I'd expected flamingos to be pink.
All of the flamingos get their coloration from the food they eat. So the brighter they are, the healthier they are.
The zoo is famous for its flamingo shows.
So one of the ways that they court each other is they do this group marching, sort of synchronized marching back and forth. And the original owner of the gardens saw this, and it reminded him of soldiers marching, doing drills. So we do have a drill sergeant who will bring the flamingos into the arena, give them some marching commands, and the flamingos respond to that. They know how to, you know, do right face, left face, forward march, about face.
You can see the shows three times a day, rain or shine, at 10:30, 2:15, and 4. If you fancy a break in the Bahamas, you could spend a fortune on exclusive resorts or remote island paradises. Choose your Nassau place carefully. Parts of town are run down or touristy and tacky, but you can't go wrong with a day pass for Blue Lagoon Island, for sea life interactions, or just soaking up the sun on the sands. If you're travelling to Florida, take the short flight over to the Bahamas and see for yourself. There's one-way fares from Fort Lauderdale or Miami at around £50.
The Great Destinations Radio Show.